29. It was a clear day in Camelot. Happy citizens went about their business beneath a blue sky, populated with just enough clouds to remind one that there were such things as clouds, and that they could be rather pleasant. The sun shone down, illuminating the streets and alleys of the city, and reflecting off of the gold-plated castle at the heart of Camelot, blinding anybody foolish enough to look directly at it. The castle had been covered in genuine gold for the same reason that the castle had been built in the first place, and for that matter that the name of the city had been changed from London to Camelot, because Jimmy could. Of course, one of the great advantages to having a gigantic castle covered with genuine gold is that anything that happens in front of that castle will seem mundane by comparison. Even a wizard and a man in a modern business suit, both wearing sunglasses, appearing out of thin air. Gary turned to Jimmy and said,
"Okay, we're here. I don't think this is gonna work, but we might as well get it over with."
Jimmy held up a hand.
"Please, Gary, may I have a moment? I haven't seen this place for a very long time."
Gary had been there the last time Jimmy had seen the castle, but had to remind himself that while it had only been a couple of months to him, to Jimmy it had been over 30 years. He chose not to dwell on the fact that on that occasion Jimmy had attempted to kill all of the other wizards. Jimmy put his hands on his hips and took a deep, satisfied breath. For the most part, the castle was exactly as he'd remembered it. The spires, the buttresses, the grand entryway with its golden steps, they were all still there. The golden outer wall still shone just as brightly. The gilt castle gate was just as immense as ever. There were fewer guards at the entrance, but that was a minor detail. The only noticeable change was the statue that stood in the middle of the courtyard. When Jimmy left, there had been a massive statue of the former king and the current king, both being guided protectively by Merlin, which was what the locals had called Jimmy, because he told them to. It did not surprise him that the statue had been replaced. He had feared it would be a depiction of Philip standing triumphant over Jimmy's own defeated form, but that was not the case. Instead, the statue represented four figures: the king, a nobleman, a wizard, and a peasant, all the same size and clearly equal in importance, standing together, hands joined in the spirit of unity with their arms raised in triumph over Jimmy's defeated form. Jimmy had long ago realized that he was not a popular figure in Camelot, but it was unpleasant to have the idea demonstrated for him so vividly.
"All right," Jimmy said, "let's do this."
Jimmy had managed to convince Gary to cooperate, but it had not been easy, and his hold on Gary's loyalty was shaky.
"Like I told you back at the cave," Gary said, "I'll do what you want, but on my terms, and I do all the talking. Got that?"
Jimmy thought,
"Doing what I tell you to on your terms is still doing what I tell you to."
Jimmy said,
"Got it. Good."
Gary strode impatiently up the stairs to the main entrance to the castle. Jimmy followed behind. As they approached the top of the stairs, Jimmy got a good look at the two guards who were stationed at the castle's open doors and did not like what he saw. The guards were taller than average, with a slight bluish cast to their skin and teeth that didn't quite seem to fit in their mouths. Clearly, these were some of the men that Jimmy had attempted to turn into orcs. Jimmy feared that they would recognize him, and remembering that the transformation process had not been painless, might not be too happy to see him. Or, even worse, they might be entirely too happy to see him. As they reached the top of the stairs, Jimmy braced himself for a confrontation, but none came. He and Gary passed by the guards without exchanging a single word. As they passed into the cavernous, gold-trimmed antechamber, Jimmy whispered,
"They didn't remember me." "Oh, they remember you," Gary said. "They just didn't recognize you. Remember, the last time they saw you was only a month ago to them. You were 30 years younger and dressed like a wizard. Trust me, if they'd seen Merlin, they'd put those teeth you gave them to good use. Lucky for you, all they saw was a weird old guy dressed like a weirdo."
"Lucky me,"
Jimmy said. Instead of passing into the grand hall of the castle Camelot, where much of Jimmy's final battle with Martin had taken place, they turned and went up a large, sweeping staircase that led to what had once been Jimmy's office. Along the way, they passed another former orc. Once they were beyond his hearing, Jimmy said,
"I'm glad to see that the process of changing them back to humans is going well."
Gary said,
"If by well you mean slowly and painfully, yes it is."
Jimmy decided to drop the subject. Instead, he turned his thoughts to the task ahead. It would call for a slightly different approach than the one he'd used on Gary. Of course, Gary was doing the talking, at least at first. Jimmy would jump in if need be, of course, but he was curious to see what Gary would say. Most people had hidden talents, and someone with Gary's sense of humor didn't keep friends long unless he was pretty good at smoothing ruffled feathers. They finally reached their goal, the door to Jimmy's former office. Gary opened the door without knocking, but entered carefully, asking,
"Is anybody here?"
in a loud voice. Gary was through the door and had entered what used to be Jimmy's lobby when Eddie emerged from his and Jimmy's former office. Eddie smiled when he saw Gary. Eddie was wearing his red silk robes, just as Jimmy remembered them. They helped sell his cover as Wing Po, the mysterious wizard from the East. Of course, his cover would have been utterly destroyed by Eddie's thick New Jersey accent if any of the locals could recognize it. Eddie said,
"Hey, Gary, how are you?"
Eddie's words trailed off as he saw Jimmy enter. Given the changes in Jimmy's appearance, it took a moment for Eddie to make sense of what he was seeing. By the time Eddie started shouting inarticulately and wielding his staff threateningly at Jimmy, it was clear that Eddie recognized him. Gary threw himself between Eddie and Jimmy and spread his arms wide.
"Okay," Jimmy thought, "let's see what the kid has to say."
Gary shouted,
Dude!
Eddie stopped yelling, but kept his staff pointed menacingly, murder in his eyes. Gary said,
"Dude, what is this?"
Eddie asked through gritted teeth. Gary said,
"It's Jimmy. I know it's Jimmy. What's he doing here?" "He showed up at my cave a half hour ago. He was able to get access to the file again, but it took him a long time. He can't hurt us. He's still locked out of the shell, okay? You know that. You're the one who controls the shell, so you know he can't hurt us."
Eddie calmed down, but only enough to look like he wanted to kill Jimmy slowly and methodically instead of in a blood frenzy. He turned to Jimmy and asked,
"What do you have to say for yourself?"
Jimmy knew this would be a tough one. Eddie had been his right-hand man for years, obeying Jimmy's every order and hanging on his every word in the belief that they were a team and had no secrets from each other. When Jimmy's secrets were discovered, Eddie was as surprised as anyone, and when Jimmy then attempted to kill all of the other wizards, Eddie included, he had been more surprised than anyone.
"What emotions am I trying to convey?"
Jimmy asked himself.
"Regret? Happiness to see my old friend, mixed with sadness that he doesn't want to see me. Resignation and acceptance, certainly. Contrition and affection in equal measures."
It was a tall order, but Jimmy had an idea. Jimmy projected sadness with his eyes, spread his hands to signal surrender, and in a quiet voice said,
"Dude." "Don't you dude me! Don't you ever dude me!"
Eddie shrieked.
"Do you understand? Do you?"
Jimmy nodded and raised his hands above his head.
"What do you want?"
Eddie bellowed, then looked back to Gary.
"What does he want?"
Gary looked back to Jimmy. Jimmy shrugged. Gary looked Eddie in the eye and said,
"He wants you to give him shell access."
Eddie belted out a wail of pure anger and hauled his staff back as if he had given up on using magic on Jimmy and instead intended to bludgeon him. Gary again threw himself between Eddie and Jimmy, shouting,